Report Working Group of the North Carolina House Select Committee on COVID-19. I'm Chairman Jason Sain. I'm here with my co-chairs, Representative Julia Howard, Representative Michael Ray. And just a reminder that if you're not currently speaking, to please mute your microphones. I will also advise the members that today we have another first for the North Carolina General Assembly. We will be live streaming YouTube, as well as what we've been doing before, which is our storing the data. It'll be on YouTube instead, where everyone can go watch it. So it'll be there. Plus, all the committee minutes and notes from the past committees are available on the website. Our sergeant at arms today is out. I've got Jonas Cherry and Ray Cook. Our committee clerk today is Cody Honeycutt. We have central staff here, all from legislative analysis, bill drafting, and fiscal research. I won't call everyone's name because honestly, I'm not sure who all is on the call, but just keep in mind that we've got qualified staff ready to help guide us through here. So thank you all for joining us. And clerk, if you would, please call the roll.
Representative Howard.
Present.
Representative Sain. Representative Wright.
Present.
Representative Alexander. Representative Alexander. Representative Autry.
Here.
Representative Beasley. Representative Beasley. Representative Dixon. Representative Dixon. Representative Hall.
Here.
Representative Holly.
Here.
Representative Hunter. Representative Hunter. Representative Johnson. Representative Johnson. Representative Jones. Representative Jones. Representative Kidwell.
Present.
Representative Majeed.
Here.
Representative McElrath is joining us via phone call. Representative McGrady.
Here.
Representative Reeves.
Here.
Representative Richard.
Here. Here, sorry.
Representative Ross.
Here.
Representative Speciale.
Here.
Representative Shepherd.
Here.
Representative Zoka.
Here.
Representative Turner.
Here.
Representative Horn. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I've made it, Brendan.
Clerk, do you hear that? Representative Jones is here. Brendan Jones. Okay, very good. Reminding the members that we are streaming live on YouTube. If you're listening in, if you go to the main NCGA website, you can find links to those committees that are being broadcast. We have two right now that are being broadcast live on YouTube, and they will be archived for later. So if you want to show a constituent what you're working on or they have questions about the meeting, you can direct them there.
Mr. Chair, this is Representative Turner. I just got a notification from a constituent that the NCGA website is down for maintenance.
Okay. Well, if the committee will suspend just a moment, I'll see if I can inquire from ISD and see if we can't get back up. So thank you for that, Representative Turner. We'll just suspend for just a moment.
Mr. Chairman, I just got on. This Representative Dick Johnson. I am present.
Have you marked, sir? Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you.
If you're just joining us, we're waiting for confirmation from ISD that the site is back on.
It's Jim.
And I'm now giving you confirmation that we are back up. We'll pause just one more moment. Just let everybody get back in place then.
Good morning. Good to see you guys actually here in Raleigh, but good to see you on the screen there as well.
Well, hello, Mr. Speaker. Great to see you. We were pausing for just a moment, as we bring back the NCGA website. Apparently, we're so popular that we might have crashed it for a moment, but it does appear that it is back up. And we're at a point in our meeting, sir. If you'd like to speak, say anything to the committee, I'd go ahead and recognize you. Speaker, if you want to go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I was going to say for a minute, I thought I saw Magnum PI on there, but it's Michael Speciale with that mustache over there. I'm not sure if it meets the Marine Corps regulations or not, but anyway, it's good to see you guys on there. Jimmy, I see you back there as well. Looking great. Julia, see everybody there. I just want to thank y'all again for taking the time and doing these meetings. We're moving things along right now as far as getting ready for session. And I can tell you that the work that this committee is doing is going to be key to making sure that we're in a position to move North Carolina forward. So I know you guys have a lot of information to cover today and talking with the chairs. And I know that Jason, Michael, and Julia have been working quite a bit. Keith, I'm surprised this here in April. We actually got you there. I mean, normally you'd be buried under a pile of papers of tax returns and all. Again, I appreciate everything that all you guys are doing, and anything we can do from our office to be helpful, please let us know.
Hey, Mr. Speaker, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Members, just to let you know, all motions and questions. I'm sorry, did someone wish recognition? If not, the chair will remind everyone to please mute your mics if you're not seeking recognition. Members, all motions and questions, inquiries of the chair or other members of the committee must be sent in writing to the committee clerk, either through the chat function on the WebEx app or via email, which is howardla@ncleg.gov, who will notify the chair and staff. If a motion is time sensitive, please unmute your microphone, identify yourself, and state your purpose to the chair. As a reminder to the public, they can visit the committee's website at ncleg.net to view documents of this meeting. And as I announced earlier, we are broadcasting live on YouTube today. You can find links to that from the ncleg.net website. You can also make comments on our public portal on our committee website. Again, it's the House Select Committee on COVID-19 at www.ncleg.net, and our documents for today's meeting there as well. And just a reminder that it's very important for everyone on the call to state their name for the record each time they talk. Before we begin with our agenda, I would like to recognize my co-chairs, Representative Howard, Representative Ray. Representative Howard, I'd like to go to you first. And remember to unmute your microphone. Sorry. Chair sees that Representative Howard is talking, but we do not have her microphone, so I'll come back to her. We'll see if we get that working. Representative Ray, Chairman Rapp, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Mr. Speaker. And just want to thank everybody for getting on the call and all the staff, all their hard work of working together works. I think we got on a pretty good agenda out here for the for us to make some results and try to help our constituents. We're working across North Carolina for everyone. And so I look forward to hearing from Golden Leaf and hearing from the other issues we got going on. And thank everybody for participating.
Thank you, Chairman Ray. And Chairman Howard, did we get your mic working? She's not hearing Chairman Howard, so we will visit with her later. I do see her, so I know she's on the call. Moving into our agenda, first an overview and update. Rapid Recovery Loan Program from the Golden Leaf Foundation. We have with us today Casey Ginsburg. She's the Director of Government Affairs and Director of Programs at Golden Leaf Foundation. Ms. Ginsburg, it is great to have you here on the committee's call. It's great to see you, and you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members of the committee, for having us. Can you hear me okay?
We hear you just fine, and you may proceed.
Thank you. Great, thank you. So when we last spoke to you, our applications had opened on March 24th, and we had received, obviously, more applications than funds available. Today, I'm update that we have 3,397 applications from businesses requesting more than $120 million in funding. We have received applications from 98 counties, and the average request is about $35,000. So far, 116 loans have been approved for a total of just over $4 million, with an average loan size of $35,726. These businesses report 1,412 jobs retained, which is an average of about 12 jobs per loan. We have five participating lenders. It's Mountain BizWorks, Red Capital, Carolina Small Business Development Fund, the Business Expansion Funding Corporation, better known as BEFCOR, based in Mecklenburg, and the Natural Capital Investment Fund. Two additional lenders have been identified, and those are the Coria Fund and Piedmont, and they will begin making loans soon. These lenders have committed 25.5 FTEs towards this program. At our current capacity, we expect to make about $5 million in loans per week, about 124 loans. The Rural Center continues to pursue other funding to support this demand. So as a reminder, these are bridge loans that are capped at $50,000 or the lesser of 2 months of revenue or $50,000 and designed to support businesses with immediate needs while they're pursuing SBA or other available programs. There are 6 months of no interest and no payments, followed by 48 months of accrued interest plus principal payments of 5.5%. Proceeds can only be used for eligible costs for businesses in the state of North Carolina. Mr. Chairman, I'm happy to take any questions. I understand there'll be a discussion about the bill draft, so I'm happy to wait till after that.
I'm going to mute my mic. Thank you, Ms. Kinsley. I really do appreciate that and appreciate the update. Appreciate all the hard work. Golden Leaf is providing for our small businesses across the state. We know that's it's not an easy job and there's a lot more to do, but we are very appreciative and appreciate what you and all your team are doing. Thank you. As we go into the discussion, what we have today, I do want to recognize two of our members before we start, or three of our members before we start, sorry. Chairman Ray and Representative Ross and Representative Jones have all three been working very hard on this issue, working with Golden Leaf and our staff to see what more possibly we could do. And as we go into the agenda today, you'll see some of that work. And so before we go into the explanation of the bill draft, I would like to recognize those that are going to be our sponsors of the bill and have worked hard. Matter of fact, whichever member would like to speak first, I'll recognize you.
Thank you, Chairman Sain. I'd just like to say it's an honor and privilege to work with Representative Ross and Representative Brendan Jones on this very important bill. We'd like to thank Golden Leaf for their early commitment of $15 million to North Carolina, to all of our citizens. It's pretty interesting. The numbers from last week to this week, how much has jumped up, and we know that you're working hard and your staff working hard. Well, this is a good deal. it's not probably all we need, but I think it's a great start for us. And I just wanted to thank the staff for preparing the bill for us today to present. And I yield to the other chairs.
Thank you, sir. And Representative Ross or Representative Jones, if either one of you would like to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it's evident as we look at some of the numbers that have come in that the need is massive. I just want to thank Golden Leaf and the Rural Center also for stepping out early on and hitting the ground and doing what they've done so far to help small business. We know in North Carolina, as across the nation, small business is really what's been hit the hardest. And many of our small businesses won't survive if we don't provide some assistance. So I just want to thank both Golden Leaf and the Rural Center for the work they've done. And I think as we get into this legislation, I think we can see that it both mirrors and complements the work that they've done. And with applications far outpacing available resources, I think what we're doing is going to be a small step forward in trying to alleviate some of the issues that small business have in North Carolina. So I want to thank them again.
Thank you, Representative Ross. Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to echo my colleagues' statements. I appreciate the hard work that they have put into this bill. And also, I would like to thank Golden Leaf. They have proven themselves to be great partners in the past. No doubt that they will be a great partner going forward. As a multiple small business owner, I certainly have felt the effects of what's going on, as well as many others. So I think this is a certain step in the right direction to help our small businesses get through these trying times. And again, I just thank the committee for the work they've done and my partners, Representative Ross, Representative Ray, in helping put this legislation together, and look forward to getting it to the House floor.
Great. Thank you, Representative Jones. To the committee clerk, I do have Representative Hunter and Representative Dixon. I believe they were able to answer affirmative when we first logged on. We're having a little connection trouble. They are here. If you'll mark them, please. Also, before I move to your question, Representative Majeed, Representative Howard, I see you're back with us and connected. Would you like to say anything to the committee?
Well, I see that we do have a real good agenda today and moving some real important legislation forward. I know that our staff has worked extremely hard. When you have staff that you talk to on Easter Sunday, that just speaks a message of how dedicated these folks are. And I'm very grateful that we have that type of support from our staff. And we're trying to move forward and get everything as good as we can get it and be ready for the 28th or 29th of April, whatever day that we come in. But appreciate the committee and the members of the committee and the cooperation that everybody is showing to work together as a group. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Howard. Appreciate you. And before we get started into the bill explanation, Representative Majeed had a question. Sir, you're recognized.
What is your current funding balance?
What are you anticipating from the federal pipeline
and
the
forthcoming funding,
and
when?
Hey, Ms. Ginsburg,
you're recognized. Thank you for the question. So Golden Leaf so far has made $15 million available for this program. Rural Center has secured commitments from other private foundations and funding sources about $1.5 million so far, and are continuing to work with identification of other sources in that range. I would expect maybe another couple hundred thousand dollars in other commitments that are coming online for this program.
Thank you, Representative Majeed. Any other questions before we get with the bill explanation? Seeing none. Dan, I'm sorry, did I hear someone? Please remember to mute your mic if you're not wishing recognition. We'll recognize Dan Edifoff from our bill drafting division, and as well as Madison Leahy from Fiscal Research to present the bill draft for small business emergency loans. And again, the sponsors of this bill are Representative Ray, Representative Ross, and Representative Jones. Dan or Madison, whoever would like to be recognized first.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. My name is Dan Edifoff with the Legislative Drafting Division. What you have in your materials, and I believe showing on the WebEx, is a bill draft, and you also have a summary that provides $25 million for an emergency bridge loan program to be administered by the Golden Leaf Foundation. It's designed, Representative Ross indicated, in most respects, to mimic the bridge loan program that Kate explained in greater detail. And to that end, loan requirements such as interest rates for the initial and subsequent loan period, loan term, the administering and loaning entities, and the timelines all follow Golden Leaf's existing program. If there are any questions, I'm happy to expound on any particular requirement, but I did want to take a moment instead to note the area where there are new or different elements from Golden Leaf's program. First, it is limited to businesses of 50 or fewer employees. Second, recipients would be required to repay first the loan from the state with any federal assistance received, provided, however, that does not disqualify or impair the business from receiving other available federal assistance. Third, the duration of the program is linked to 6 months following the end of the state of the emergency, but until that time, repaid amounts may be cycled into new loans for other qualifying businesses. Thereafter, the amount appropriated and repaid minus 5% for the cost of loan origination and servicing would be returned to the general fund. Fourth, the EDGE Oversight Committee and FRD would receive semi-annual reports involving loans made and how they were used. And finally, the $25 million appropriation requires $15 million in matching funds from Golden Leaf. But as Casey has explained, they've already expended that amount or have made available that amount, so no new matching funds would be required, practically speaking. Just a note, post-disaster funding for loans to small businesses are not new to North Carolina, and we have appropriated money to Golden Leaf for loans in the past. However, this would be the first time for funding a bridge loan program in which the first portion of the loan term is characterized by a low interest or below market rate interest loan. As noted in the summary, low interest or no interest loans could be attacked on the grounds that they constitute a gift and not a public purpose, and that intrudes on the sphere of the banking industry. However, a 1999 opinion, the Attorney General's office has opined that a court would allow such programs, is likely to allow such programs if they're narrowly tailored to address an emergency situation from a disaster, so long as the private interests do not predominate public purposes. To achieve that narrow tailoring, the draft limits the scope of the program in a number of ways, the most notable of which are it limits the program to the area affected. In this case, that is the whole state, but it's limited to in-state assistance. It limits the program to companies showing or that are able to show adverse impact from the COVID-19 epidemic. It does require repayment by recipients when federal funds are received, if it's not disadvantageous to them for those funds or other federal funds that are available. And it requires returning the loan funds to a higher rate after the interest-free 6-month period and returning repaid amounts that have been appropriated to the general fund shortly after the end of the state of emergency period. So that concludes my prepared remark on the program.
Thank you, Mr. Edifoff. Before we move to Ms. Leahy, is there any questions for Mr. Edifoff? Seeing none from the committee, thank you, sir. Appreciate the update and explanation. Ms. Leahy, if you'd like to say anything.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't have any prepared remarks, but certainly am available for questions should they arise, particularly regarding this bill draft and this program.
Very good. Thank you. So, members, you've heard the presentation on the bill. Would any member seek recognition or have any questions? It is pretty straightforward, and I see that Representative Humphrey has a question. I will advise the committee that Chairman Howard, Chairman Ray, and I are very happy to present this and have this presented by the members, by the sponsors, Representative Jones, Representative Ross, Representative Ray. We do know the importance. You've heard the need earlier that we have, noting that it is limited to businesses with 50 or less out there. Representative Humphrey, you are recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just doing the simple math on this, it looks like that if $25 million were divvied out at $50,000 a piece, that would go to 500 small businesses. And I know there are 913,000 small businesses in North Carolina. Just wondering how many small businesses out of that 913,000 or 50 or fewer. Will this amount be enough? Are the plans to expand the program? I know there's a lot of questions in there, but.
Representative Humphrey, thank you for the questions, and I'll recognize any others that wish to answer. I will advise the representative and the committee that through talks with the bill sponsors and the chairs, as well as the speaker and the appropriations chairs, this is really designed to continue some of the work that Golden Leaf has already accomplished and their assistance. To answer your question, is the $25 million enough? Probably not. But at the same time, as we're navigating what the federal government is doing in terms of response and so forth, settle on this number as a means to go forward, but not necessarily the final number that we would see maybe working with Golden Leaf. So I hope that answers part of your question. Anyone else wish to answer Representative Humphrey's questions?
Mr. Chairman, I might be able to help with that a little bit.
And who's seeking recognition? I'm sorry, it didn't pop up.
This is Tim.
Mr. Speaker, you recognize.
Just maybe to help give a little bit of the background on this. We know, and one of the things that we saw was we've been talking about there was a critical need for help to small business. And I do appreciate what Golden Leaf did with that initial tranche of money. So we wanted to be in a position to step forward with some more. Part of what this is putting some significant dollars in, some significant dollars in to move things along. But at the same time, recognizing that the federal money is coming in, that's gonna be the biggest share, and there's gonna be even more federal money. But we wanted to do something at the state level while at the same time recognizing that we're also going to have some budgetary issues ourselves to have to deal with a projected all of maybe $2.5 billion. My hope is, as this process moves along, as we come into session, that we may even be able to make this program even more robust and put more into it. But we didn't want to put a big number out there right now and have to back up on it. But the hope is to be able to increase this. And I can tell you that the bill sponsors have worked really hard to try to get this through, and I appreciate their hard work on it. The key is going to be balancing what we do as a state in spending versus what we're getting from the federal government and making sure that we maximize those federal dollars before expending state dollars. And that's whether we're talking about what this task force is working on or education or anybody else. But that is the basis upon which the $25 million came from. Golden Leaf put $15 million in. It got used up pretty quickly. My suspicion is that the $25 million would probably go pretty quickly as well. And we'll just have to see if we can maybe even do a little bit more. But that's where the 25 came from.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ms. Ginsburg, I did see that you might have some commentary as well.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. To answer Mr. Representative Humphrey's questions, about a third of the 900,000 businesses in the state of North Carolina report having 50 or fewer employees. That's according to the data that just been texted to me by our partners at the Rural Center. Our experience with this program is that the size of the loan really is focused and encourages folks in the smaller end of the business spectrum, the small number of employees. So a firm with 500,000 employees or 50,000 employees or whatever isn't going to be interested in this. It's, I would say 90% of the loans in this program have been 50 employees or fewer. However, it would not be uncommon for restaurants or restaurant groups or a manufacturer to have more than 50 employees. But I think we can work through how that is implemented in over the next couple of weeks. I'd also mention on the funding amount side, the goal with this program is to revolve the fund. So as someone secures federal program funding, they're able to repay this loan, which puts that money back into the pool. So 25 million, the basic math of 50 or 500 loans is correct, but the idea is that we may be able to continue to leverage that. So really we're supporting 600 loans with the same $25 million.
Very good. And thank you, Ms. Ginsburg. Representative Humphrey, did that answer your questions?
Yes, it did. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the questions. And I will say, I'll give you a rundown of who's waiting in the queue, but Representative Alexander was ready to move that we adopt the bill, and so the chair definitely appreciates the spirit in which that was given. Consultation with my co-chairs as we talk has become the tradition of this committee in our short time together. We do want to let the bill wait for, you know, just hold that for a week so that we make sure that we have consensus just in case there's any questions. The committee is trying to move forward on bills that are bipartisan in nature and have bipartisan support. So we'll note that Representative Alexander, your motion is certainly well in order, but will not be taken up at this time, but I will absolutely recognize you next week for that motion. Thank you, sir, for that. Next up with questions, I have Representative Hall and then Representative Warren.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think Casey just hit on the first question I had, which was about restaurants, you know, if they have a single owner, but yet they have multiple entities with 50 employees. I think you just hit on that. So my next question would be, is there any prescribed timeline for clock starts on loan origination? Could it originate based on when you draw rather than when they're approved? How does that work?
Ms. Ginsburg?
The practice has been that loan origination starts when the loan is closing, the date the loan is closed. There could be a lag. We try to keep it the timeline between approval and closing very close in this program, so maybe a day or two different the closing date.
Okay, another question, Mr. Chair.
You recognize.
How does this program compare with the other loan programs from Golden Leaf?
Ms. Ginsburg?
So as far as structure, this program, the bridge loan program, mirrors the bridge loan program structure implemented by Golden Leaf following Hurricanes Matthew, Florence, and Dorian. Loan programs, the other loan programs for disaster recovery are the longer term loans that have been supported by state funds. So those are longer terms and larger amounts. As far as bridge structure in these short term loans, it is roughly the same. We made some, I think, administrative improvements, but it is roughly the same structure.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Representative Hall. Representative Warren, and then I have next Representative Autry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just for clarification, from my understanding, once loans begin, as they're repaid, the repayments go back into the fund, recirculated with new loans. New loans will be able to be issued within 6 months of the end of the state of emergency, at which point, does the loans being repaid then revert back to the general fund? That's the caveats that were put in here for administration, et cetera. Is that correct?
I'm sorry. Yes, who wishes recognition?
This is Dan Effar from Bill Drafting. That is correct.
Okay, great. Thank you. President Warren, any other follow-ups?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And as the chair manages everyone on the screen, I do thank you for your indulgence. Just a note for those watching or listening, we have 51 participants this morning. So that's nice to have that number in the committee. And if the chair misses you by any chance, do speak up. But it's not the intent of the chair, just a challenge of the technology. But I do have next Representative Autry and then Representative Johnson. Representative Autry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is this, I'm sure we've all heard from a lot of small business owners in there throughout the state about how they've certainly been knocked back on their heels and are considering whether they stay in business or not. So my question is this sort of assistance always structured as a loan?
And Ms. Ginsburg? Or Edify? Who wishes to be recognized? You can answer that. I'm sorry.
I'll go first. Yes, following Hurricane Floyd, all of the any assistance offered to businesses has been in the form of a loans due to the constitutional question, which I can let Dan expand on more. But the goal of this program is to encourage businesses to want to stay in operation and want to stay through this crisis. So by offering them this loan that enables that, we're hopefully encouraging businesses to stay operational. I think a concern with grant dollars might be that folks would not have the same incentive to stay in operation following the conclusion of this crisis.
Another question, Mr. Chair.
Representative Autry, you're recognized.
So after Hurricane Floyd, can you tell me how many loans were issued and how many were repaid? Was it 100%, 90%, 60%? Any idea? I know that's a pretty abstract. I'll take my your response offline if that would make it simpler for you.
Ms. Ginsburg.
So I don't have the data for Hurricane Floyd, but I can tell you for the Hurricane Matthew and Hurricane Dorian and Hurricane Florence programs, nearly all of the loans were repaid or refinanced with into longer-term loans or repaid with insurance proceeds, and I can get you those exact numbers offline.
And another question, Mr. Chair.
You recognize.
Were any of those loans for Dorian, Florence, any of them, were any of them ever forgiven?
Ms. Ginsburg.
No, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's done.
You're very welcome. Thank you for your questions. Representative Johnson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This may be a question for bill drafting or Madison in fiscal research, but I had a question how this applies to if you receive a federal loan as well. Is there any flexibility in this language as far as, can you accept both, or is there limitations there?
Mr. Chair, this is Dan from Bill Drafting.
Recognize you, Dan. Thank you.
The only flexibility that's really provided, this is sort of intended to be the first money to assist businesses and hold them over until they receive the federal funds. But it is also designed, because of those constitutional concerns, to bring that money back from the company or the receiving business as quickly as possible so that the state remains sort of the help of last resort. So right now, the only flexibility given for repaying once you receive the federal dollars is if it would impair the receipt of those federal dollars or repayment terms for those federal dollars or affect negatively eligibility for future federal dollars.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right, Mr. Edify, I have a question for you, sir. This is the chair. Are those many leather-bound books in the background I see?
Those are, this is the library of our office. So those, they're leather-bound, but they're pretty nice.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Chair asked the body if there are any other questions on this bill presentation. And again, the chair reminds the committee that we will let the bill sit for a week as folks can read and understand it more. We do. It is the wish of the chairs to have broad agreement as we move forward on any legislation that we put forward as we go back into session. So that is kind of our charge from the speaker and what the chairs have agreed to do. Is there any other commentary or questions? Seeing none, Chair, thanks to the committee. On your agenda, you see that we were gonna have a presentation on the bill draft for emergency assistance for commercial fishermen. Representative Richardson is the sponsor of that, but is opting to pull that for now. But Representative Richardson, do you have anything to add to that? I know that you're working with other members and it may not be something ready for our committee, but maybe by the time we get to session, but I know you're working with Representative Richardson.
Yes, sir. I've gotten a lot of input from a lot of people that I definitely want to make sure are in the legislation. So I think it's best that we get as close to a completed draft as possible before we put it in front of the committee. As you know, this is kind of the third rail of North Carolina politics, and I'm trying to get lions and lambs to sleep together on this. And it's, I think we'll get there. We got more work to do.
Well, thank you, sir, and appreciate that. Appreciate you working with the members of the committee and the rest of the House on that. It is greatly appreciated. So that being the case, we will hold on that. Next on your agenda, item number four, bill draft and summary COVID-19 Response Act, economic support. And this is where we were going to incorporate the three bill drafts from last week's meeting into this one draft. Part one of the draft is revised to include additional tax extensions, similar to the ones published by the IRS on Thursday, April 9th. We do have Cindy Averett from Legislative Analysis Division and also Rodney Bissell from the Fiscal Research Division. I will recognize you for any explanation.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. This is Cindy Averett in Legislative Analysis, and this bill draft is substantively the same as the one that you saw last week, all three rolled into one. There have been a couple of occurrences since last week that I'll point out. The first is that the IRS last Thursday issued another publication extending some tax deadlines, and this bill follows suit because we want to keep those tax types between the federal and the state those deadlines the same. So what the feds have done is to allow the second quarter estimated taxes due June the 15th to be payable on July 15th with the waiver of penalties and interest. Under our general law, North Carolina would follow suit with a waiver of penalties, but this bill on line 21 through 23 provides that the estimated tax payments April 15th and June 15th will be considered timely paid if paid on July 15th. What has been added to the bill is section 1.1B and 1.1C. What the feds also did in the announcement that they sent out last Thursday was to give an extension of time for people to seek a refund of overpayment of their 2016 tax returns. The normal statute of limitations is 3 years from the date the return was due, which would have made it April 15th. So this section extends that statute of limitations until July 15th. And the last section is that certain actions when a taxpayer wants to contest or request a departmental review of assessment of a tax or denial of a refund, if they want to go appeal a departmental review to the Office of Administrative Hearings or petition the courts to review a decision of the Office of Administrative Hearings. All of those have strict timelines. And so what this does is to say that if any of those times fall between April 1st and July 15th, they are delayed until July 15th, just to give the taxpayers additional time. So those are the changes to the bill from last week. I will also note on the unemployment section, the committee spent some time last week talking about allowing employers to file attached claims on behalf of their employees. And that was something this committee was going to recommend in addition to what the executive order had provided. But last Thursday, the governor issued another executive order, 131, allowing for attached claims in these circumstances. So, that is something the committee had put forth last week, and the governor has now provided it in an executive order, and this codifies it. Everything else in the bill is the same as you saw the last meeting. I will be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Ms. Averett? None. And Rodney Bissell from our Fiscal Research Division, did you have anything to add?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, this is Rodney Bissell with Fiscal Research. I would just point out on the second quarter estimated payments that Cindy referenced, the interest on those amounts to about $3 million. You had already included the waiver of the interest on the first quarter payments. So this would just be an additional $3 million on top of that.
Very good. Any questions for Mr. Bissell? Seeing that, I'm going to recognize Chairman Howard. She has certainly put a lot of time in and working with staff and members of the committee. Representative Howard, Chairman Howard, you're recognized.
I hope I can unmute.
Well, we hear you.
Oh, can you hear me? Okay, good. Ms. Chairman and members of the committee, I certainly appreciate the cooperation that we've gotten through the committee. And since this bill has gone through the proper process of laying a week, and I would like to make a motion that we have this bill, we sanction this bill and send it forward for filing on the 28th day of April.
You've heard the motion from Representative Howard. Any other discussion? Seeing none, the motion is before you to approve the bill as written. And all those in favor? I tell you what, for the committee, I think we probably need to call the roll just to make sure. But unless I'll do it this way. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All right, opposed.
Mr. Chairman, may I suggest that we do have the clerk call the roll?
Thank you for that. If the clerk would call the roll.
Representative Howard.
Aye.
Representative Sain.
Aye.
Representative Ray.
Aye.
Alex.
Aye.
Representative Autry.
Aye.
Beasley. Representative Hall. Holly.
Aye. Aye.
Representative Humphrey.
Aye.
Representative Hunter.
Aye.
Representative Johnson.
Aye.
Representative Jones.
Aye.
Representative Kidwell. Representative Kidwell. Representative Majeed.
Aye.
Representative McElrath as an aye. Representative McGrady.
Aye.
Representative Reeves. Representative Richardson. Representative Richardson.
Aye. Aye.
Representative Ross.
Aye.
Can we post the thing about the video?
Bishalley.
Aye.
Representative Shepherd.
Aye.
Representative Zoka.
Aye.
Representative Turner.
Aye.
Chair, that is 20.
Clerk, I'm sorry, we have a little bit of feedback. Okay. Reminding the committee to go ahead and mute the microphone after you take your vote.
Chair, the vote was one aye, no.
Mr. Clerk, I also accept Representative Dixon. And he has to be counted as aye. And the chair will also allow, since we are doing this via video and audio, and that there's nothing necessarily binding vote, so we can be a little bit more flexible with our rules, that if a member did not get registered as their preference on how to vote on this, I think we have overwhelming majority. Certainly it's unanimous at this point. that if anyone did not get recorded, they can contact the clerk and be recorded for the official record as having voted aye or nay. But it sounds like we have unanimous consent with everyone. So thank you for that. The bill does move forward, and we will have that ready for filing. The sponsors of the bill will file that as soon as we can when we open session. And Zoka, Representative Zoka, I have a message from the clerk that you'd like to make a comment, sir. You're recognized.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much. I would just like to first say that I think that this committee, as well as the rest of the committees on COVID-19, are doing a great job. My request would be for next week's agenda that we get someone from the governor's office to update us on reopening the economy for the state. I've had lots of comments from my constituents, and I'm sure that everybody on this committee is also concerned about how we're going to update or how we're going to reopen the economy. I read in the paper today that the governor actually has some plans that are ongoing as we're going into session on April 28th. This week, I think, is an appropriate time for the governor's office to give us a briefing on what his initial plans are so that we can help participate with legislation should that be needed. Thank you, sir.
Representative Zoka, your points are well made. I'm sure that the governor's office will be glad to have someone come talk with us and update us on what the plans are. I think it's very appropriate, and thank you for that. We all are getting a lot of those questions about when can we reopen, when can we get to some type of normalcy, and so that's certainly a question on folks' minds. So thank you for that. The chairs will make sure that we extend that invitation to someone from the governor's office. Thank you. Any other comments or questions for the committee? Chair sees none and hears none. If there's no other business before the committee today, we will stand adjourned, and I thank you, and we will meet again next week, same time. But again, we do stand adjourned. Thank you, members, for your time. Take care.